wasn't made for Smurfs. Smurfs. The Bible reading this morning will be from Matthew 9, 1 to 9. Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralytic lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, what is that paralytic? How do you pronounce that right?
Paralytic.
Paralytic, okay. Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, this fellow is blaspheming. Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your heart? Which is easier, to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paralytic, get up, take up your mat, and go home. And the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they praised God, who had given such authority to man.
The themes for the elders' talks this month and next month have just been the idea that that's a good question. We are looking at questions that are raised in the Scripture and seeing what of interest that we can find there. And Brother Gary has read to you from Matthew chapter 9, 1 through 8. And the purpose of the lesson this morning is not really to study that passage in any detail, but to look at that question that Jesus asked these scribes in the midst of this event that happens. And he does this healing, but he brings up the forgiving of sins. They start thinking in their own heart, this man's making blasphemous statements. And Jesus, of course, being God, had the ability that we don't have. He knew what was in their heart. He knew what they were thinking. And so he asked them this question. Why are you thinking evil in your hearts? Now, based upon our theme, when we talked about this in the elders' meeting and said we were going to do it and start talking about what different questions different elders would talk about. This one came immediately to my mind because it is to me such an interesting question. What would cause people to think evil things in their heart? Why do they think that way? And we have, by design in this period, it's a short period with just a few minutes. So I'm going to tell you at the very beginning, I'm sure I'm not going to exhaust all the possibilities here. But in my thinking about it, there are three that come readily to mind, and I want to talk about those, each one of those, for just a few minutes this morning. So I would suggest to you then one of the answers to why do men think evil in their hearts is the fact that their hearts are hardened. Perhaps the poster boy, so to speak, for a hardened heart in the Bible is the Pharaoh of Egypt. I think that phrase is used to describe that man maybe more than it is of any other men in Scripture. From Exodus 7, all the way through Exodus 10, over and over again, it says that Pharaoh rejected the Lord because Pharaoh had hardened his heart. And we are not going to take the time this morning to go to Exodus chapter 7 and go there all the way through those and look at every one of those things. But I do think it's very interesting, one of the observations in reading through those chapters that I think that it's very interesting is that at the end of that discourse, as God is preparing for the last of the plagues, what we call the Passover, the death angel, that is going to lead Pharaoh to give permission for the children of Israel to leave Egypt, that God tells Moses this is going to happen, and he says, then I will harden Pharaoh's heart. And so he tells Moses that while they're going to be granted this permission, that ultimately Pharaoh is going to turn. And the result of that was that his armies were going to be destroyed in the Red Sea. And so it's an interesting thing to me, I think, and an observation that the problem hardening one's heart is that at some point God says that's enough. And at that point, he says this heart will be hardened and no further good can come. And I will take judgment. The hardened heart simply does not consider God. It does not consider his will. And if your heart will not consider God and you will not consider God's will, then the only result that can come from that is godlessness. I think Jesus talked about that, the hardened heart. I think it's a part of his parable of the soils. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 5, when Jesus tells that very familiar story, he says the sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed, and some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. And so some of the older translations call this the wayside soil, but it's the hard, beaten path that surrounded the fields of Jesus' day. And the picture is very given of the seed falling on that and just bouncing off, it being so compacted and so hard, almost like a paved road, that seed could not penetrate it. And when he described or explained that parable to his servants or to his disciples, he said in verse 12 of Luke 8, those beside the road are those who have heard. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they will not believe and be saved. And so he pictures this heart that cannot be penetrated by the word of God. And that those who have this kind of heart, this kind of attitude, the devil automatically kind of gathers in and they become his. He takes the seed away from them. And I think that Paul describes the result of that kind of heart in Romans chapter 1. In Romans 1 and verse 21, he says, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. And so he goes on to say a few verses later, therefore, in verse 24, God gave them over to the lust of their hearts to impurity. And then finally, beginning in verse 28 of Romans 1, it says, and just as they did not fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And if we just take that and kind of look back from the Romans passage to what we said about the Pharaoh, that as he consistently hardened his heart, there came a time when God said, okay, now I'm hardening his heart. It's done. and his judgment is secure. And so Paul says God reaches a point with people when they absolutely refuse to acknowledge him, when their heart is so hard against him, that he will allow them to go where that will take them. And then Paul says that's not a very, very pretty place. And so when you are around other human beings, maybe not ones that you really choose to be with on a regular basis, but perhaps it's your job that puts you in contact with them. Perhaps they're your relatives, and every once in a while, for family obligations, you just have to be with them for a little while. Maybe it's a neighbor that you can't totally avoid. But I imagine every one of us has in our acquaintance somebody that every time we're with them, they disgust us, because their thoughts are so vile and their attitudes are so vile. Why would anybody think that way? Well, if you harden your heart to God long enough, that's where your thinking will always end up. That's where you will be. And so I think the first answer as to why do some people think the way they do, the very foundation answer is because they've not opened their heart to God to start with. Their hearts are hardened. But I think there's another one we can find in Scripture, and that is that some people think the way they do because they have created their own self-serving goal. They are selfish people. Some men think evil because they have ambitious personal goals. And once they set their mind on getting and achieving those personal goals, that twists their thinking. That causes them to think in a way that we as children of God would recognize that's not right. That's not the way we ought to think. Only bad things come about from thinking that way. And I believe that the religious opponents of Jesus during his ministry had such hearts. And perhaps the men in the example in the passage that Brother Gary read, they were already committed to a point of view. And therefore, when Jesus started showing evidence and presenting teaching that was contrary to their point of view, that caused their thinking to be evil, because their concern was not with, is this man demonstrating the power of God? Is this man teaching that which is true and high and noble? It was, if this man's teaching is different than what we want to see people adhere to. I think there are numerous examples of that, and in fact, throughout the Gospels, almost every conflict that Jesus has with the scribes and the Pharisees, that kind of comes out a little bit in some point in some of the discussion. But I think, since we don't have a lot of time, perhaps the place that it is most clear is in John chapter 11. In the Gospel of John in chapter 11, most of us remember that chapter for being the chapter where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Perhaps it has a fondness in your heart because as children, when you were told you had to pick a verse and memorize it for Bible class, you all knew to go to John 11:35, because that was the easy one. Jesus wept. But the story behind that was at the tomb of Lazarus, and he raised Lazarus from the dead. And this is a notable miracle, and it could not be denied. Everyone had ample evidence that Lazarus was indeed dead when the stone was rolled back from the tomb, and yet Jesus says, come forth, and out he comes, still wrapped in his grave clothes. What's interesting is what happens with the priests and the Pharisees after the word of that raising of Lazarus from the dead starts to spread. In John 11 and verse 47, it says, therefore, the chief priests and the Pharisees convened a council and were saying, what are we doing? For this man is performing many signs. I want you to notice that. They're not questioning. This man is performing many signs. But here's the heart problem. If we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. These are our people. We are the people that are supposed to be running things. These people, the nation, the Jews, are ours, and he's going to take them away from us. And then one of them, the Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, says, "You know nothing at all, nor do you take into account that it is expedient for you." Now notice, it's expedient for you. Look out after your interests. That one man dies for the people, and that the whole nation not perish. Now, it goes on to say that he had one motive, but being the high priest, God used him to prophesy the fact that Jesus was going to die for the entire nation, that is, for their sins. But that wasn't Caiaphas' point. Caiaphas says, if it comes to us losing all the people, it's better for us to get rid of this one than to lose them all. And so it goes on to say that so from that point, verse 53, they planned together to kill him. And so the thinking of their heart turned to the treacherous plot that ultimately ended up in Jesus dying upon the cross. And all of that thinking originated from a heart that says, we've got to protect our interests. Right and wrong didn't come into it. What came into it is that they had desires and they had goals. They had a place. And protecting that was more important than all else. And that resulted in evil. And then the third one that we'll talk about just quickly before we go to our Bible classes is people think evil in their hearts because they want to justify themselves. Most of us know the story of the Good Samaritan pretty well in Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 37. Most of us also know about the exchange concerning what is the great commandment, but a lot of people don't recognize the connection between the two. And in fact, it is the lawyer who asks this question, what is the great commandment? In Luke chapter 10, it says, the lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says to him, "What is there written in the law? How do you read?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." So that's what the law says. The lawyer knew what the law said. And Jesus simply says to him, "You've answered that correctly. Go do this and you shall live." But the story of the Good Samaritan is told in response to the lawyer's question. And the motive behind the lawyer's question, it says in Luke chapter 10, is he wanted to justify himself. He knew what God's word said. But in order to justify himself, he asked this question. Well, now, just who's my neighbor? If I'm supposed to love my neighbor, how do I determine who my neighbor is? You see the evil thinking that's behind that? Well, if that person is not my neighbor, I don't have to love him. I can do whatever I need to do for my benefit. And so, when our hearts get so focused upon our selfish and personal desires that we start asking questions that are not designed to help us find and practice the truth, but are simply there to justify us doing the evil that we are doing, then that's where our thinking comes from. And the result will be the fruit of a rebellious heart. And as I said at the beginning, there are probably so many more potential answers to that question that we could go on and on, but our time is gone, and so we will stop with that right there, and Brother Justin will lead us in prayer, then we'll be dismissed to our classes.